Gemara. So Rabbi say we're on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, which is 26, 25b, but we actually we got up to 26a. But let's go back a little bit to Meisvei, which is on 25b. So we're here in Masechta Sota on Chaf Hey Amid Beis, three lines up before the end of the Daf. And what we decided, just so that you know what this Meisvei is all about, just to refresh your memory and my memory, is we're talking about the Machlokes between the Tanakama, the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar about Shasia in the case of a barren woman or an older woman. The Shita of the Tanakama is that in such a case, since he has a mitzvah, a period of arivia, and these ladies are not capable of bearing children, therefore there's no din of shasia. And this was derived, if you recall, from the pasuk in the parish of Sota, v'niksav v'nizra'a zera. But Rabbi Loza said, no, there's nothing improper or illegitimate about this marriage, because he could always marry another woman and fulfill the mitzvah period of arivia with a second wife. So this wife remains a full-fledged Eishes Ish. However, the Gemara tried to argue that even Rabbi Lazar, who finds the other two ladies, that's a Zakena, or Mishaini Yoledes, an Akara she's called, allows them to drink, but not in the case of Islandis, because Islandis, from the get-go, meaning from her very birth, from the moment that she was born, she was incapable of having children, and therefore this was not the proper woman to marry in the case of a fellow who has not fulfilled the mitzvah period of arivia. So we'll review this as we go along. Well, let's just get the Meisvei down. So this Meisvei is a long brisa that starts here on Chaf Hei Amid Beis and continues through Chaf Vav Amid Aleph. And the brisa addresses a whole slew of cases. Okay, now keep in mind that the general rule, which we're going to see many, many applications to this general rule, is that a woman after Kini and Stira, if she doesn't drink Mei Merarim, for whatever reason she's technically excluded from that, then she loses her Ksuba. The reason for that is because Stira itself is a violation on her part. So for example, the Brisa starts off by saying, Hamakane La Rusoso Ula Shomeres Yovam Shalo Im Achalo Kansa Nistira Lo Shosav Lo Noteles Ksubasa. So you may recall that the Rabbi Yonasan, that Tana of our Mishnah, was the author of our Mishnah here in the fourth parak, excludes these two cases, these two categories of ladies from Shasia. They cannot drink the Mei Merorim because their marriage relationship is an incomplete Ishus. And one is the Arusa and the other is the Shomeres Yavam. In both these cases, even if she violates a kinui with a stira, she doesn't drink from the Mei Merorim. And the reason for that is because it's not tachas isha meaning a full marriage relationship. But the Brisa points out that only applies if the stira, her stira, when she goes into yichud with this man, took place before nesuin or before yibum. Fine. So, and keep in mind that since she cannot drink because the stira was before she was married, fully married, I mean with nesuin or yibum, therefore she loses her ksuba, because as we said over and over again, after she violates the kinui, and the kinui was meaningful in order to create an Israel bylaw and also to have her forfeit a ksuba, so she doesn't drink for the Mei Merarim in these cases, but she loses a ksuba anyway because she violated the kiri with a stira. So now we're on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. If you can turn to Chavav Amud Aleph, and we get to the cases where, if you recall, there's a 2-year period of time in which he's not allowed to live with his wife because he married a pregnant woman or a nursing woman. And as we discussed yesterday, great length, Chazal were very nervous about undermining the ability of a woman to nurse her baby. So therefore, they don't want any marriage relationships during that period of time. I mean, I'm not saying he has to divorce his wife, but I'm talking about marrying a woman who's already pregnant, marrying a woman who's in a nursing state. That's a no-no, that's unacceptable. And therefore, lo shosos. This is the same as marrying a mamzeres, basically. It's an illegitimate marriage. But that's according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is not going to allow this marriage to go on. He has zero tolerance for this marriage. Shohai Rabbi Meir Omer, not only lo yisa adam uberes chaver menekes, not only was he enjoined from marrying this woman, but im nasa, if he married her, yotzi, he has to divorce her, lo yachzer olamis, he can never marry her again. That's how far Rabbi Meir went in penalizing a person for violating this prohibition, which might undermine her ability to nurse. And marrying a woman who's already pregnant or nursing, says Rabbi Meir, this marriage is absolutely illegitimate. And in that case, the halacha is going to be shosos velo notlos b'ksubasa. The lady forfeits her ksuba because she violated his kinui, but there's no shasiyah because it's an illegitimate marriage. That's according to Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, yotzi, he has to divorce her, but kishiyagiyaz mano, after the 24-month period comes to a termination, then he's allowed to remarry her. Ukshiagia zmano lichnos, that he's allowed to marry her, yichnos, and he'll marry her, he'll remarry her. Now, let's just think about the following. According to Chachamim, would you say that this marriage is legitimate or illegitimate?
I say legitimate.
It's complicated, is it not? Because no, on the one hand, we're saying yes to divorce her, which sounds like it's an illegitimate marriage, but on the other hand, that's not a permanent divorce. It's only until he remarries her.
Right. Yeah. So that would suggest it was legitimate with an exception.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know how to.
It was illegitimate at the time it has been performed, before the 2 years.
Right. So again, and keep in mind that the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is not about whether he's allowed to remarry her after 2 years. That is true. That is the debate. But that's not why it's quoted here in this brisa. The reason why it's quoted this brisa is because the subject of this brisa is sota. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about these women as sotos. And the question is whether they would drink and they're included in the parasha of sota or they're excluded from the parasha of sota, they don't drink. That's where the brisa quotes this machlokas. So the machlokas is a borrowed machlokas, so to speak. It's a general machlokas about a person who married a woman who's pregnant or nursing. Can he remarry her after 2 years pass? But what our Bryce is doing is it's grafting, it's borrowing that machlokas and plugging it into the issue of Shasia in Mei Merarim Sota. If any of these ladies who are married now violated a kinui with a stira, then Rabbi Meir is going to say this is an illegitimate marriage, and therefore there's no shasia. She's going to lose her ksuba, as we always say, because if she's not shosos, then she forfeits the ksuba because she violated the kinui.
But she's allowed to.
Wait, just one second. One last sentence. I'm sorry, you caught me in the middle of a sentence. That's not nice.
Sorry.
No. So, but the Chachamim say that this is a legitimate marriage. Haraya. The proof of it is because the divorce is only a temporary divorce. He's going to remarry her. So there's nothing really. An illegitimate marriage means that these two people, man and woman, can never be married. And if they got married, although this tefisa is kedusha chavilavim, but he's going to have to divorce her and he can never remarry her. But if you have a woman to whom the Iser is temporary, which means that he eventually could marry this woman, so there's no permanent rejection, so to speak, of the marriage, there's no permanent Iser in the relationship between him and her, then it's considered a legitimate marriage. And the nafkamina for our purposes is that she will drink from the Meimararim if she violates the kin.
Yeah.
Now you can
and does not lose the kesuvah.
If she turns out to be innocent
after drinking.
Yeah, if she survives it, she'll get her kesuvah.
Right.
Next. Again, this is all one long price. Harova, which is a young man who doesn't have children, Shenasa Kara Uzkena. Okay, now this was the machlokas that we had between Chachamim and Rabbi Lozar. The Enlo Ishu Barame Kara, so he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah of Piri Verivya. And now he marries a woman, and the Torah is not happy about this marriage. Now, again, this is a very complicated case, because until now, when we've discussed the categories, the cases of women who are excluded from drinking the Meimararim, we were talking about an illegitimate marriage, which means that there's some Iser, call it a Chayve Lavim situation, between him and her. Here in this case, I wouldn't say that he violated a Lav. In the best or in the worst scenario, I would say he violated a mitzvah saseh, a positive command of Piri Verivya. Although, again, Rabbi Lozar is going to argue, well, he has other means and expressions of Piri Verivya, he can marry someone else. But in the Chachamim's frame of reference, he is now being mevatel, he is now undermining a mitzvah saseh, meaning every time he has an intimate relationship, that's for the sake of Piri V'Rivya. It has to be for the sake of Piri V'Rivya. But in these cases of a woman who's barren, you cannot possibly justify his relationship with her as a Kiyum Piri V'Rivya. So in a sense, I hate to use this term, but I'm going to try to polish it up a little bit later on. He's wasting his seed. Because his mitzvah now is to use his seed to bring children into the world. He's wasting his seed. Now, where do we find a parallel case? Let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's not lose our place. But let's go back to our Mishnah. Just give me 1 minute, so I just want to finish a thought before it flies out of my brain. And we have the case of Kohen Gadol Almana. Let's see if I can find that. We're on Daf Chav Dalin Amin Aleph, and we have a case of Ashes. Just 1 second. I'm just trying to find it now. Where is an Almana Lekohen Gadol? It should be there, no? Oh, it's Chav Gimel Amin Bet. Okay, that's. I get so used to this Gemara here. If I ever get my hands on a Sota, I mean a Gemara Sota. Anyway, the Gemara.
Go on.
Oh, you do? Okay. So hold on to it now. So Almana Lekohen Gadol. Do you remember that case? It's there on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amin Beis. Almana Lekohen Gadol. So let's think about Almana Lekohen Gadol. Just 1 second. All right, so for this, I'd have to know a little bit more. Do we have a Chumash Vayikra? Maybe there's one here. You don't have to bother yourself. Yeah. Just 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit distracted here. So do me a favor, if you can, Jeremy, since you started the mitzvah, open up. Open up to Vayikra. Open up to Vayikra. Should be Parshas Emor. Let me just. I had it a second ago, but I lost it. Yeah. Let's look at Chaf Aleph. That's 21. Pasuk Yudalit. Can you open up to that pasuk? Chaf Dalit Yudalit. 24:14. Don't read it to me yet, because I'm not ready for it, but keep it open in front of you. And let me just clarify one thing, just to clear my brain here. All right, read me the pasuk if you can.
What was the pasuk again? Chaf Dalet.
I'm hoping it's Chaf Dalet. No, I'm sorry. Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph. My mistake.
21:14.
Yeah, you Dal. 21:14. Yaakov says it well.
Sure.
21:14. I have a hunch here, but now I'm beginning to question my hunch. So let's see. Go ahead. But you have to read it a little bit louder, just to drop loud. Oh, lo yikach. Okay, so that just destroyed my thesis. Okay. So it's interesting. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but there are two different situations which are prohibited to a kohen gadol. One is the case of a woman who already had be'ila, and the other is the case of a woman who is married and then widowed. And the difference is that in the latter case, where she was widowed, that's an isur lav of, what does it say, the lo yikachu? So that's a violation of a lav. Now the Mishnah speaks about almana. So what would be the deal with a ba'ula if she's not a virgin? And that's a violation of an essay. Just one second. That's a violation of an essay. Let me just quickly see if Tosis by chance says anything. Hi, does anybody have any sort of a sefer? See, I don't have a masifta. Masifta would definitely help me out here. So I asked Rabbi Meis to buy me a masifta on Sota. Anybody have any sort of a sefer here? I want to know, what's the deal with a ba'ula l'kohen gadol? Here it says almana l'kohen gadol. What's the deal with a ba'ula l'kohen gadol? I'd like to assume that the same din would apply, but I'm afraid to say so. So the Mishnah says almana l'kohen gadol. What about a ba'ula l'kohen gadol? Just think for a second. I'm going to bet my reputation that even in the case of a ba'ula l'kohen gadol, I don't know why the Mishnah says almana l'kohen gadol, but even a ba'ula l'kohen gadol would not drink from mei merarim. Now let's just think. The Chachamim are saying that if he's a rova, right? A rova who marries a zkena, she doesn't drink. Why? Because of the mitzvah period of a rivia. So maybe the source for that, the precedent for that, would be ba'ula l'kohen gadol. What would be if a man marries a kedesha? All right, kedesha is an isur lav, so for Vistoma she doesn't drink. I don't know why that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. But kedesha, maybe if he marries a kedesha, she no longer has the status of a kedesha.
The Mishnah's not going to list all the cases, right? It just lists cases that you can extrapolate from. The same.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out what exactly is the rule that I'm meant to extrapolate. In the case of ba'ula l'kohen gadol, that's not even chayvei lavin. That's one notch below chayvei lavin. Does that also constitute I keep using this phrase, an illegitimate marriage, such that it's not such that she doesn't drink from mei merarim?
But if you marry a barren woman, that's not a love, right?
Oh, so I'm thinking that ba'ula l'kohen gadol is more severe than this case of a barren woman.
But it's still not a love, you're saying, below a love.
even Bu'ulul Kohen Gadol is not allowed.
Right.
This is even lower than Bu'ulul Kohen Gadol. So if I can convince myself that Bu'ulul Kohen Gadol doesn't drink, then I can say the Chachamim took it one step further. And they said even in the case of Bittul Piri Verivia, because she's not childbearing, that's also an illegitimate marriage. But if I were to tell you that Bu'ulul Kohen Gadol drinks, and the Mishnah is isolating Almana to exclude Ba'ula. See, usually the Mishnah tells you the biggest chiddush. Mm. It would have been a bigger chiddush if the Mishnah would have mentioned Ba'ula Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah only mentions Almana Kohen Gadol. So maybe the illegitimacy is a Chayvei Lavim illegitimacy. Here in this case, there's no law that says he can't marry a barren woman. Yeah, at worst, you can call it Bittul Piri Verivia, but that's only a Mitzvah Saseh. That's not a Los Saseh. So I don't know, this Shitas Chachomim here just defies my understanding. Let's see if there's any note here. Yeah, go ahead, I'm listening.
Would the situation be different if he marries this barren woman as a second wife?
Yes, that's for sure. And then the Chacham would say that she drinks from the name of Rory.
Because
he had children from the first wife. If the first wife is childbearing, that's enough.
Yeah.
But here we talk about a case where we only married one woman, and she's not childbearing. So again, exactly why she doesn't drink, let me again go back to the Mishnah. I'm sorry, fellas, but this is really really tickling my brain over here.
Would it not be connected to the idea of her being able to bear children after she successfully drinks? But in her case, she won't be able to bear children even if she drinks and is successful.
You mean to say that this is not a problem of the Isur, but rather
she'll get pregnant right after this.
In other words, the machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar revolves around how to understand the pasuk of Vinizra Zara. So Rabbi Lazar is going to say Vinizra Zara is coming to exclude a case where the Torah objects to the marriage because he has a chiyuv of Piri Verivia. And the Chachamim is saying that she's excluded because she's not... but that's a little bit. In other words, that this condition of Venizra Zara applies even at the moment of Shasia. It's like Tanakama. Just see. Look at this. Take a look at Rashi, Divrei Maskil Machlokes. On Chaf Hei Amud Beis, Rashi says, better yet, look at the Rashi, Dira Masl Bakora Uzkeno. Just one second. Take a minute to look over that Rashi. Let me just see. Almana Uzkeinu. You see such a Rashi? Chaf Hei Amud Beis. One second. 20. See, Rashi, if you want to underline, there are two words in this Rashi that should catch your eye. Do you see the words Re'uya Lekaima? In that Rashi. It's actually like five lines up before the end. And Rashi repeats himself in the case of Islandus. He says, Re'uya Lekaima. Now Rashi is emphasizing the reason why Rabbi Lazar says that she drinks. And the answer is because she's Re'uya Lekaima. And the line before that, towards the beginning of Rashi, Dimamasa Bakara Uzkeina, Rashi tells you Taima, the reason why according to the Chacham and the Tanakhama she doesn't drink is Mishum de lo chazia lekaima. So you want to underline those words, lo chazia lekaima.
Which means
that he's not allowed to be married to her. Rashi is not pointing his finger towards V'nizra Zora. And apparently that pasuk V'nizra Zora is only going to exclude an islandess. According to Chachamim, a Zekena, whose Eina Ru'ila Holit is excluded under a different law of Eina Ru'ila Kaima. And basically we're talking about an illegitimate marriage. Now if you look back on 24a, there's a footnote here in the art school, number 21, and he says a man is biblically obligated to father children. Consequently, one who has not yet fulfilled this obligation may not marry a woman who cannot give birth. Hence, like other women who are forbidden to their husbands, in event that she becomes a sota, she may not drink the bitter waters. Now he says he gets this from Rashi. Let's see. Yeah. Very nice. Rashi is very consistent. There's a Rashi here on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Dibra Maskel She'ena Ru'il Leleid. And Rashi says, Ve'asuras L'kaima. He has to divorce this woman. L'fisha Ein Lo Bonin. Barin it's Tabu Yisrael Al-Piri V'Rivim. Now I'm not sure if it sounds like this is a Doraisa Halacha. And if it's a Drabonin, it comes under Nesina. If you remember, we spoke about Nesina. But I would say it's a Doraisa halacha, but it's a Pella, the Eina Ru'il Kaima, that he has to divorce this woman. You know, for some reason, which I can't explain, the Chachamim are assuming that you're only married to one woman. I can't explain that. I would need a lot more, and a lot more of commentary here, which I don't have access to understand why the Rabbanan are assuming that he's not marrying a second woman. And he has to divorce this woman to marry a second woman. I don't know why. Unless you say that every time he has beer with her, he's wasting his seed, so to speak. He's being mevatel, an opportunity of piri v'rivia. Do you follow what I'm saying? That if a man has a chiv of piri v'rivia, then the way the Chacham understood that is that every beer that he has to be towards, you know, directed towards the goal of having children. And if he's wasting his time, so to speak, with a woman who cannot bear children, that's a violation of piri v'rivia. And that's enough to be considered Eina Ru'il L'kaima, such that will force him to divorce her. It's like a man who's married to Mamzeres. And hence she doesn't drink. Again, I'm not saying I'm comfortable with this. There's obviously a piece of the puzzle here that's missing. It's almost as if, again, don't quote me on this, I'm going to deny I ever said this, but if a man has a chiyuv piri v'rivya and he marries a woman who's what? Who's barren, then it's called a bias nus. Why? Because he doesn't have the option of bias nus. He has only one beer. His beer has to be for the purpose of piri v'rivya. Any other beer is a bias nus. What do you mean a bias nus? He's married to this woman. How can you call it a bias nus? I mean, it's a contradiction in terms over here. But since it's a bittel essay of piri v'rivya, it's tantamount to a bias nus. And therefore, koin t'chachamim lo shosa. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yochel Ulisa Acheres. Well, who says that the Torah is requiring that every single beer that he has to culminate, or at least possibly lend itself to Piri V'Rivia? He can fulfill his Chovos Gavra of Piri V'Rivia. He has an obligation. He'll do it in other ways. He'll find another woman. But this marriage is perfectly legitimate, and therefore she drinks from the Mei Merorim. Okay, now we want to know about islandess, right? So far, we haven't mentioned islandess. Let's go on in the Braisa. Aval amakane laru sosel shemeres yovam shelo. Mishad nichnasa nistera. So the kinu was given while she was in arusa shemeres yov, but her stira took place after what? After he married her, meaning nisuin or yibum. Then we go back to the regular din of every classic sota, and that is osho salona alona tells ksuva. If she refuses to drink, then he will divorce her, and she loses, forfeits her ksuba. If she drinks, then she has a chance of proving her innocence, and she will collect the ksuba. Let's go on. Again, it's a long, long braisa. Meuberes umeinekes atzmo. Oh, shosa lo nutels ksuba. Now, I don't know what the chiddush here, why the braisa has to tell me this. He's marrying, he's giving kini and stira to his own wife. She's pregnant or she's nursing. What's the Mishnah have to tell me now that she drinks from the Memororim? Let's just see if he adds anything in the footnote. Oh, here number 10. This would seem to be obvious. The Bryce's point is that she drinks the waters even though... Oh, holy Toledo. Now, Bosai, this is a whole nother... Whole other business here. Let's see.
They'll kill the unborn baby.
Yeah, they're going to kill the baby. Let's see Rashi. Where is Rashi? Mu'beres atzmo. Three lines down from the top. Shohoisa ishto mu'beres v'kinela oshosos v'lo amrina. We don't say lo liktele li eled. Livlad, we shouldn't be hit, inhibited by the fact that she might actually kill the Vlad. So I both say this touches on a basic moral issue in Jewish thinking, in halacha. What is the status of an unborn baby?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she may be guilty, and she deserves to die, perhaps. But why is the child guilty, or the future child, the fetus? So this principle is that early in pregnancy, I guess until a certain stage, I'm not going to go into details here because I don't have that at my fingertips now, uber yerech imo, the uber is considered like a limb of her body. Mm-hmm. It's not viewed as a separate, independent, viable being. And therefore, if she has to be blown up, then so be it. And every part of her body will die, including the uber, which is a part of her body.
I could argue against that.
Okay, but let's just get through the brisa. Harovah shenasa nakara. I don't think that's relevant to us, but yeah, harovah shenasa kara uzkena v'yeshlo isha ubanim. Okay, so he has children, and what's the chiddush here? Oshosa olona tells ksuba. Why would I think otherwise? Let's see if he says anything here. He already has children, another wife, and it's allowed to marry him since the baron is fit. I don't know what the chiddush is. Oh, he says this is apparently the view of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who disagrees with this? 24a, note 23. Is somebody who might disagree with this? I don't understand who can disagree with this point here. Note number 23, let's just see. The Blesser argues that a wife incapable of bearing children is not regarded fine. Tanakhama holds that since the husband is obligated to procreate, she's not eligible. Right? Ain't a re'uya l'kaima, as we saw in Rashi. However, Tanakhama agrees that if he had already fulfilled his obligation, the first wife is eligible. So what's the chiddush over here? I don't understand the chiddush here. This is obvious. In the previous case, the one who was married is away from him to be married. Listen now, until 2 years they reject the laws of being the wife who can't bear children.
Even though she's barren.
Yeah. I have no clue why the Mishnah, the Braisa, excuse me, has to add this. We're talking about a man who's already fulfilled his mitzvah period of Arivia, so he's allowed to marry any woman. I don't know who would argue to the contrary. And there's a very confusing footnote here in the art scroll. He writes at the end of number 11, this is apparently the view of the Tanakhama. What does it mean, the view? You know, when you say the word the view, that means somebody disagrees. I don't know who would disagree with this. Like, that I can't figure out. So I both have to apologize to you. This is our last learning together, and I'm leaving you with a lot of hanging questions here. The Ashes Nasin Lin Nasin. Oh, that's allowed. I don't know, what's the Chiddush here? I don't know. 13. I don't know what the Chiddush is here. So that's another question to add to our list. the Eishes Ger, the Eved Mishuchrar. All right, so what? She's not allowed to marry a Ger? What's the big deal? 14. I don't know. Again, I don't know what the Brisa is. You know, why not just say it in one fell swoop? Every wife is going to drink Mei Maror. I don't know why he has to go into every... He's giving you a list of all the wives. You know? You have an island. So now we finally got to the punchline. So why did we bring this long, long Brisa? Because it says island is here. O Shosa, O Lona Tels Ksuba. Mm-hmm. Ketani, now the Gemara takes over. Ketani, Mia, islandis, it says in this Brisa, islandis. Which means that an islandis is Shosos. Is Tuvta the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, that was the previous Sugya on Daf Chof Hei, that even according to Rav Nachman, in the case of islandis, she doesn't drink. And we derive that from a pasuk of Nizra Zara. So how do we reconcile this brisa with Rav Nachman or Melchor Rav Nachman Tanoihi Vanod Yamiki Hai Tana? Notice he has another Tana that disagrees with this brisa. Disanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Island is Lo Shosav Lo Notel Ksuba Shenemar Vinixav It Isra Zara. Okay, Misha Darkal Azria Yotza Zu She'ein Darkal Azria.
Eiliness is a first marriage. It's not like a second wife where he could marry her if he's already had period of war.
You go and quote to Rabbi Loz. Rabbi Loz says in the case of Cana, she drinks from the name Merarim because he can marry another woman. And why not say the same thing in the case of an eiliness?
Right.
Why does the Brisa say that an eiliness lo shosa? And presumably,
she's
that
the first.
Presumably that would apply even according to Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar is going to exclude an islandist from Shasia because Vinixav in Israel Zara. But wait a minute. What about Rabbi Lazar's logic that he can always marry another woman? So apparently this pasuk is telling you that there was never a moment in time where he could have married this woman because she was excluded... Or even if I don't say that, but she was excluded from the parish of Sota because she never had a moment of time that she could bear seed.
There's no
so wait,
way.
Just give me 1 minute. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to organize my thoughts here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long footnote here, number 19. Let me just see if that's relevant to us. Rav Shimon Elazar mentions only an island, implying that a barren woman or an old woman is eligible for Shasia. Which would mean that this is reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, not the Tanakam. His reasoning for exempting an islandess is not that she is ineligible for marriage, because again, he could always marry a second wife, but rather this verse specifically excludes her, as explained above, 25b note 5. Let's go back to 25b note 5. This verse excludes an islandess who was born with her condition. It does not exclude a barren woman whose inability to conceive results from injury, or an older woman because, well, previously she was able to bear children. In the light of this verse, even Rabbi Lazar agrees that an islandess is not subject to the drinking of the waters. When Rabbi Lazar stated in the Mishnah he's able to marry another woman, he was referring to the barren and the old woman. In these two cases, we exempted her from Shasiyah according to Tanakama because he's not allowed to be married to her. So to this, Rabbi Lazar responds that no, he's allowed to be married to her because he can take another wife. Right, like we said, the bia, it's not a bia znus according to Rabbi Lazar because he can fulfill piriviri elsewhere. With the Chacham are assuming this is the woman he's married to, and every time he consummates his marriage, he's being mevatel the mitzvah piriviri. Rabbi Loz is not discussing an eyeless at all, in which case it's completely different reason, namely the Torah excludes her by saying Venizra Zara. So again, what he's summarizing here is that somehow Venizra Zara is an exclusion of eyeless. Evidently, Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah agrees with Rabbi Loz, who holds that a sterile woman can be included in Shasia. She's fit to be married to her husband, since at any moment he can marry another woman, but an island is excluded on the because of the special pasuk of Venizra Zorah. So Rav Nachman, who said that an island is exempt from Shasir, so even according to Rabbi Lozer, because it's a special pasuk that excludes islandness from Shasir, is that's reflected here in this brisa of Shimon Lozer. Because again, the point here is that if you read this brisa carefully, the Sanya Rabbi Shimon Lozer Omer, islandness lo shosav alone. Now, if he was talking about the problem of a woman who's not childbearing, he wouldn't have focused on islandness. Why did he focus on islandness? Because he's holding like Rabbi Lozer that a woman who's not childbearing is included in Sota and she will drink, because that's not an illegitimate marriage. Let him marry a second woman. But islandness is a special case with a mute unto itself, and even Rabbi Lozer would agree that she doesn't drink. So that's what the Gemara means here when he said, when the Gemara says that Anod di Amri ki haitana, that Rav Nachman is standing on the shoulders of Rav Shimon Elozar. So we have one brisa that says that islandness would have the same status as a barren woman. Wait just one second. This is a little confusing to me. Let's go back to the long brisa. So the long brisa says that a rova shenosa karuz kena lo shosa. And yet the brisa says that islandness is shosa. So I don't get it, because why is an islandess any better? You know, even if you don't have this special miut, this special drasha, but why is her status any better than an akara and a zekena? That can't be.
Is it because there's a special pasuk specifically citing the islandess? Therefore she's the exception to that barren?
And therefore what, she should drink? That doesn't make any sense.
Why not? A special
if she drinks,
is giving her the...
Oh, you know about such a pasuk to include an island?
Innocence.
Yeah.
Where is that pasuk?
Should bear children.
There is a pasuk. That's it saying that there's a pasuk.
Really? Where? I didn't see that. Maybe I didn't get to the Gemara. You're ahead of me, maybe, in the Gemara. I don't know that there's a special pasuk to include an island.
Did I just read that here? That there's a...
No, we have a special pasuk to exclude an island. It's an therefore even Rabbi Lozer, who says, well, let him marry another woman. Islandness is excluded from Sota because there's a special exclusion of an islandess in the parish of Sota. But this brisa says that an islandess does drink. And this brisa, even if it doesn't have the special miut, but it's reflecting the sheet of the Chachamim, that every time he has beer with a woman who cannot conceive, he's wasting his seed, so to speak. He's being mevatel piri v'rivia, and therefore she doesn't drink. How could we be more makil, so to speak, for an islandess? That doesn't make any sense to me. So let's see, as a footnote number 15, let's see if that helps. This part of the brisa follows Rabbi Lozer, who holds an islandess. He's splitting the brisa into two. Wow, that's not very comfortable, if you know what I mean. He's splitting the brisa into a reisha and a seifa. The reisha reflects the sheet of the chachamim. Hence, in the case of an akara or zekena, she doesn't drink. And the Seifa expresses this view of Rabbi Lozer, and even an islandess drinks, because he doesn't have the special miut of Venizra Zora. Now where is this in Rashi? Alma Rabbi Lozer Svirale. Ah. You see that Rashi Anna, which is on about 10 lines down from the top in that Rashi, he says that Alma ki Rabbi Lozer svirale, that this brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Lozer. Again, the reisha is explicit like the chachamim, so we're going to have to take a scissors and cut this brisa right down the middle. So the Gemara says, Rabbanon, hai v'niksa v'nizra zolmai ovdve, since the Rabbanon are not excluding islandness. Again, when I say the Rabbanon here, the Rabbanon means Rabbi Lozer. Since Rabbi Lozer is not excluding islandness under this pasuk, so what do we do with this pasuk? The truth is that the word Rabbanon here could even refer to the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama excludes islandness under a different halacha, namely under the halacha Piri V'Rivia, which means she's Einaru Yulakaima. So they don't need this pasuk V'Nizra Zara. It's only Rabbi Lozer who would need this pasuk, because he holds... it's not an illegitimate marriage because he can marry another woman and procreate. So now the Tanakhama of the first Braisa, he's holding like Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar doesn't use this pasuk to exclude islandness. But the truth is, even the Chachamim don't use this pasuk to exclude islandness. Islandness is excluded because ain't a real kaima insofar as he's chayav in Piri v'Rivia. So what are we going to do with this pasuk? Mi boile l'chasanya v'nixa v'nizra zara shim hoisa akora nifkedes. Ooh, beautiful. This pasuk is only giving a blessing that the Torah is bestowing upon a woman who is accused to be an adulteress and she turns out to be innocent. So the Torah bestows upon her an unbelievable blessing. It's a miraculous blessing. I mean, I get very nervous about this kind of miraculous blessing, because what happens if she survives and she doesn't have a child? You know, what, you're going to be coming up because of that, you know what I'm saying? I hate to rely on miracles.
What is the miracle?
The miracle is that she's physically incapable of having children, but she will give birth.
That's a miracle.
That is a miracle, right? Shem hoisa kara nifkedes. She will bear a child. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. He has a note number 21. Let's just see if he adds anything.
Note 15.
The Braisa refers to a case which the husband of this barren woman, otherwise the barren will be forgiven. But he's assuming like the Chacham. Okay. I don't know why he's pointing. Okay. There must be. Oh, hello, Rabbi Shmuel. Im Kain, if so, Yistru Kol HaKars V'Yifkidu. If a woman is barren and she cannot have children, and she desperately wants to have children, there's a whole sugya about this with regard to Chana, right? That she couldn't have children, so she threatened Eli HaKohen that she might go ahead and have a stira with another man, and then she'll drink from the Meimororin. Is Yisru Kol HaKars V'Yifkidu? And this would be a great solution for all barren women. Vizu Hoil V'Lo Nistra of Sida. But if a woman is barren and she's very careful about the laws of modesty and she refuses to have a violation of secluding herself, so she's going to lose out on the opportunity to be blessed by drinking from the Meimorim and having children. And,
think how much money we're going to save on IVF as well.
Right? This is the... I'm worried here, David, about the people who are making their living in infertility.
Yeah,
I have a Talmud who makes his parnasa, Bakshim, he's doing pretty well, to help barren women. I mean, now we don't need him anymore. Let's just drink for the Meimorara. Im Kein Ma Talmud Lomar V'Nixo V'Nizra Zora. So what is the Torah telling me? Because if I don't accept Rabbi Akiva's interpretation that this is a blessing, so what is this pasuk telling? Shem hoisa yoledes bitzar, yoledes berevach, nekevos, yoledes zechorim, ktsorim, yoledes aruchim, shchorim, yoledes levonim. So we're not talking about a barren woman, but rather we're talking about a woman who has tremendous childbirth pains. They didn't have epidurals, I guess. And a woman who wants to give birth to a male, but, you know, she has 22 girls, but she doesn't have a boy yet, so she'll get blessed. Or she has short children, she wants tall children, she has very dark complexion, so she wants fair children. So then it comes out that this pasuk of Nixa Zora is to give her a blessing, and this is against the shita of Rav Nachman, who bases himself on Rav Shim ben Elazar, and Rav Shim ben Elazar was the one who said that this pasuk is coming to exclude an islandess. I'm just thinking out loud, Rabbo, so why couldn't it be that we derive two psukim from this, two derivations from the same pasuk? What is the Torah saying here? The Torah is saying that she will be blessed with having children. But at the same time, the Torah is saying she is a woman who can have children. Yotzus Azu, to the exception of an island, is She'ein Darka Lazria. Just one second. So the Rabbanon. So we have one brisa that says an islandist drinks from the Mei Marorim. So what are you going to tell me, that this islandist is going to give birth? Because she's going to be blessed if she's innocent? No, the answer is because if I exclude an islandist, just 1 second, let's see, work out the mathematics here. According to the brisa includes an islandist. Ah, so if it includes an islandist, so what do we do with the pasuk v'nikla v'nizra azora? Wow, this is wild.
You want to put a limit on a miracle, Rob?
Yeah, I think. Why? I don't know. Like, if you have a woman,
how do you exclude an islandist when basically you're saying, well, we already know that she's barren and Hashem can't do anything about it? What about Sarah?
So let's ask a question. Was Sarah an islandist? I don't know that Sarah was an islandist.
She had no womb. She had no womb. Yeah, so that'd make her an islandist.
Mm. Well, I don't know if it makes her an islandist, but yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. that's a gigantic miracle. Yeah. Who says she has no womb? I know that from Rabbeinu Bechai. You know that, Rabbeinu Bechai?
Yeah, sure.
I always thought that was the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Bechai, that she had no womb. Okay, maybe you'll find it somewhere. Yeah, I always thought it was Rabbeinu Bechai, who was the only one who said Ein Lo Vlad means Ein Lo Beis Vlad. That she had a hysterectomy, so to speak. She had no womb. So let's just make sure the mathematics is correct, because this is wild, Rav Osai. Now, I understand a woman after menopause. You know, we've heard of all sorts of stories. You know,
Moshe's mother.
Yeah,
she
I don't know.
She was a little 30 young when she had a child.
But an islandist. So 1 second, let's just make sure. I just don't want to walk out of here without the right impression here. So again, one shot is that Vinigla Zara is coming to exclude islandists from Shasir. And that would be the Shita of Rav Shimon Elazar, which Rav Nachman accepted. And even Rav Elazar, who disagrees with Tanakama, in the case of a young man who hasn't children and he's marrying a barren woman. Nevertheless, she drinks. But nevertheless, islandist was excluded. So that's one Shita. But now we have the price that says an islandist is included. So the Gemara asks, what do we do with the Pasuk V'nigla V'nisra Zora? The Gemara answers, that Pasuk is telling me about the great gift or miracle that's going to be bestowed upon her because she was suspect and then she proved her innocence. Ah, but that's only according to whom? According to Rabbi Akiva. So it comes out on both sides that if Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Chachamim of the long Brisa, which means that we have no pasuk to exclude islandists, but that's only if we go like Rav Elazar. Ah, here's where it is. So I'm going to ask you a quiz question. Can an islandist give birth to a child?
No.
The answer is, if you hold like Rav Elazar, like Rabbi Akiva, then she can give birth to a child.
After drinking.
So again, let's just go over the cheshbon. Why? Rav Elazar holds that an islandist drinks. Why? Because this pasuk v'nizra v'nikla is not coming to exclude. It's bittul pirvi rivya. Let him marry another woman. Now I add Rabbi Akiva, who says that this pasuk is bestowing a miraculous blessing on a woman who's incapable of having children. She will have children if she drinks and proves her innocence.
She will have children.
So this islandist. This islandist, come in, Mitch. This islandist who wants to have children has to hope and pray that the halach is like Rabbi Lazar and like Rabbi Akiva, and she'll seclude herself and violate the kinui, and she'll be able to have a child by proving her innocence. Wow, that's what she really has to pray, that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva and like Rabbi Lazar. Because if you don't have these two conditions, she won't be blessed. Why? Because if you accept Rabbi Shmuel, okay, if she had dark children, she'll have lighter children, etc., etc., etc. But there's no blessing that a barren woman will give birth to children. If you all like the Chachamim against Rabbi Lazar, then she, the islandist, is not even in the parasha of Shasir, because the Torah says v'nikla v'nizra azera, to the exclusion of an islandist.
It doesn't make sense that she has to go through the whole process of excluding herself and pray for a miracle. Why doesn't she just ask, pray for a miracle and not have her excluding herself?
I'll tell you why. Because we don't believe in miracles. That's called a tefillah shav. A tefillah shav means when I pray for a miracle. I can't pray for a miracle. So the first 40 days of after conception,
yeah,
that's not a miracle. You can pray that the child be male and not female, female and not male. Why? Because the gender of the child has not been determined. Again, I am Google. I'm not talking about Google. I'm talking about Talmudic medicine. Yeah. Wait one second. After the 40th day, you can't pray for the gender of the child. Why? That's called a tefilas shav. If a woman is an islandess and she prays for the ability to have children, that would be a tefilas shav. But what she could do, and I'm not advocating that she do this, she could take the law into her hands. Again, she has to have a consenting partner that's going to be her husband, and he's going to give her kinui. After he gives her kinui, she goes ahead and has stira. Again, I wouldn't recommend this, but she's desperate.
Yeah.
And now, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that even a barren woman drinks from Mei Mararim. Why? Because he could marry a different, you know, even though he's a young man, he could marry a second wife and have children. So this marriage is legitimate between a rova and an islandess. Good. So we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar does not exclude an islandess, just like he doesn't exclude a barren woman. No, but what do we do with the pasuk v'nigla zera? We're going to interpret that pasuk like Rabbi Akiva. And there's going to be a miracle. A woman who's a barren woman, if she drinks and she proves her innocence, she's going to have a child. And here's the case where the islandess can take the law into her own hand. To pray that God will give her a miracle, that's a tefillah shalom. But to take the law into her own hands and deliberately engineer a kini and a stira and then drink from the memorarim according to Rabbi Elazar, and now she's the Nikla Zara, she's going to be blessed with a miracle according to Rabbi Akiva. That's her way. So we're going to have to write a vigilante sota.
I like that sota.
To erase Hashem's name.
I didn't say I recommended it.
No, I don't think it washes. I think it can take that.
I thought that's what Muhammad is.